Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts now. Well, brains, look at where you are. You are here on the edge with me and Rebecca Saylor-Kerson. We're going to delve into the Akashic Records and this thing called truth. What is your truth? What does that word actually mean? Because it can be sliced and diced in many ways by different people. Truth could be a matter of perception. It could be a matter of fact. Sometimes your truth are also your fears. So we're going to talk about that. And what led her to this truth? What she's pouring into others. And why is the Akashic Records coming up over and over and over again? Why do people want to go so deep? We're going to find out that and more with our beautiful guest right there, Rebecca Saylor-Kerson. Hi, baby.
Hello. So wonderful to be here with you, April.
Well, it's wonderful to be here with you, too, because there's a lot. I got some bad news this morning. One of our dear friends, you know, passed away of that COVID-19.
That is the
invisible devil for real. And me being a Christian, I've been fighting the invisible devil my entire life, seeking for the truth, seeking to find myself, to also belong to a community and to a tribe of other seekers and followers. Tell me a little bit about your story, your upbringing, and what led you to the Akashic Records.
Yeah, absolutely. My upbringing, I grew up in a very rural area in the Midwest. And like a lot of people, I grew up in a religion that shaped me. I found it to be over time constrictive and very repressive, but it did connect me into community. And my father is a man of faith, and he was very much searching for truth. And so I come by that naturally in terms of being a seeker and wanting to go deeper. But he had strong faith. And as a young person, he wanted to find a community that he could raise his children in. And so we grew up in a religion. And, you know, I found that to be very constrictive for me. So when I went to college, I started to explore more and I started to step out of that. But I can, looking back, see some of the positive aspects in terms of how it shaped me. And what led me to the Akashic Records is, I think for a lot of us, we're living our lives, we're seeking fulfillment, we're trying to find clarity and direction. And I was on a path that had nothing to do with metaphysics or spirituality. I actually worked as a business manager and had other jobs that had to do with business and accounting and finance. Like a lot of people, was trying to pursue career, was trying to pursue relationships, to find that those aspects of fulfillment. And when I was 27, I actually went through some challenges, which now looking back, I would call those chaos cycles. It's when life is trying to dismantle limited ways of being that we've created for ourselves so we can step into greater aspects of our potential. But I went through some challenges, and I had a little girl, and she was born premature at 27 weeks. And she was healthy when she was born, but she did get a hospital-borne infection called Pseudomonas. And so she transitioned 2 weeks after she came into this world. And that served as a spiritual catalyst for me because I thought I was going to be on the mother track. And that really woke me up to wanting to go deeper, to connect in with truth. And so I consider her, Aiden Grace, my spiritual catalyst. And after that, I decided to leave a relationship that I was in. I stepped out of the trajectory of business that I was in, and then eventually decided to do a spiritual sabbatical. And that's where I, during that year of spiritual sabbatical, was led to the Akasha. And I knew nothing about it, but you know, my soul was guiding me on that path. And I do believe our soul knows the timing and the cycles and seasons for each of us. And if we follow those divine breadcrumbs, we will be led to the work that's purposeful and meaningful to us. And that's exactly what happened for me, April.
So delving back a little bit, you did deal in traditional religion.
Mm-hmm.
Brains. Okay, clarification. I'd say it all the time. Religion is not spirituality. They are a duality. They work together for the greater good. You have to decide what is your spiritual path, you know, what's your religious doctrine, what you believe, what fulfills you, what lifts you and elevates you, because sources come to all of us individually and very differently. Okay, it's no blueprint. There's no carbon copy. We've all got our own journey. So as you delve into these Akashic records, what joy did it bring you? What awakening, you know, what did it really do for you? I mean, did it excite you? Did you get goose pimples? You know, did you start singing? What happened when you found your awakening?
Yeah, that's a great question, April. So I would say for a lot of my younger life and 20s, there was a perpetual sadness that followed me. Mm-hmm. And I absolutely wasn't living my truth, my divine purpose. And I think that sadness, I carried that around with me. So when I found the records, it felt like for the first time in my life, I had found my home. I had found my reason for being. I had found that magnetism that could light me up on the inner so that I could share that with others. I found my voice. I found my power. And absolutely, when I did the attunement process that one goes through to enter the records and access the records, I absolutely had goosebumps. I had just this heightened energy all over my body. And it, you know, it was very striking. I can still very much remember that, just like it was yesterday when I went through that process. And there's a lot of things I think we go through that are initiations, like a shamanic initiation, because the work I do actually is very shamanic in nature. So yes, I did experience that. And what it's done for me in my life, it's brought me so much more fulfillment. I'm anchored in my truth. When I speak from a place of divine self-expression and my power. And I know that I'm connected into the divine side of me and that divine nature. And it just allows me to walk this earth with so much more confidence and tapped into my creativity, tapped into my purpose. And I think that's the challenge for a lot of us, is we're not fulfilled because we don't know why we're here, what we're supposed to be doing. And if we're not anchored into our sacred truth, we're going to just be wisps blown in the wind without anything to guide us. And that's what I love about this repository, these Akashic records, because it does connect us back in to the truth of who we are. So we can start to embody that, anchor into that, and allow that to infuse in all the different areas of our life. And so you that's what it did for me.
But it can also be scary, because we're also dealing with epigenetics. We're dealing with generational trauma.
Absolutely.
Back into things that have been recorded. There's a document, brains, and it's not on the internet. I want to hear a little bit about your ability to access the records. Now, I've had other individuals. I had one woman that from the UK. Brilliant woman. But she says as she goes to enter the Akashic Records, she enters a door. She knocks on the door, and she's greeted by two miniature-sized people that actually walk her in to a table, sit her at that table, and there is these endless volumes of books and records for each individual person. I had another woman that came on, and she said that she got more of a channeling perspective. She got downloads. She got information. Each one of us are different. What has this really done for you? What are you able to access? How does this embody you? How does this change you and allow you to be a channel and a conduit for others to get the messaging and the downloads that they need?
Yeah, great question, April. You are correct. All of us are unique. All of us are made up of different intuitive gifts, and we do receive our intuitive impulses and information differently. And actually, that's one of the cool things about the records that I share with my clients is how they are energetically wired to receive that intuitive information so they can really start to hone those gifts. For me, I'm very empathic. I'm also clairaudient, which means I can hear things. And I'm also claircognizant, which is just a deep inner knowing. So how I work in the records is I do a meditation and I move through my chakra system, and then I visualize walking this beautiful green bridge from my heart chakra, this bridge that has a green energy of love and healing. And I walk on that bridge, and there are steps that I walk up to in my visualization, this giant, beautiful building. You know, intuitively, this is in my mind's eye as I'm visualizing this, and all of us have intuition, and all of us have obviously our own experiences and our ego. So when we're intuitively doing things, it has to come through our own personal filter, right? So I'm just visualizing this beautiful building that I climb up to, a very ancient temple, and then I do greet my Akashic Record guides. And we all have guides that work with us. And then I knock and I go into these Akashic Records or beautiful library. And yes, I do go find a space that is mine that I work at. And I sit at that space and I am surrounded by volumes and volumes and volumes of books and shelves and just an enormous library. And so when I'm in the records, I then give the information for the appropriate soul record that I'm trying to access. And then I start to receive information based on my intention or the specific things that I'm trying to access or look for. We don't ever go into the records on a fishing expedition. It's very specific. And so then I start to receive information about that. And a lot of times for me, it is through clairaudience or hearing. And so I will hear the answer to that. And when I do go deeper into past lives, other things that require a little bit more depth, I then will download or do the claircognizance. I will download information that allows me to go deeper with that. And I will be dialoguing with my guides about, is what I received, is this accurate? Is this what you're trying to share with me?
And so, okay. I've got to come from a different perspective because people want to know. Number one, what do you say to the person that say, you know what, this is hoo-hoo? You know, how, you know, really, because there's going to be people to say, how is she going to be able to tell me that, you know, this happened in my previous life, or this may be something to prepare for in my current life, my current existence? That's the first question. The second question is, what do you say to the person that is fearful?
Yeah. So the first question is great, right? I love to read for people that I know absolutely nothing about. The less I know about you, the better. Okay. And when people come to me, you know, I tell them a healthy mind doubts, like you have to feel into your inner knowing. And I'm sharing information with people that there's absolutely no way I would know this information about them. People break down, they're emotional, right? They're like, oh my goodness, this is the first time someone has actually witnessed me for who I know myself to be. And I'm pulling out very specific information that, again, I don't know these people. I work with people all over the world that I wouldn't have possibly known. So the information that I share will absolutely have resonance with who you know yourself to be and what are the patterns that are going on in your life that you're not able to shift for yourself. So, you know, it's interesting because we live in a world where everyone trusts the five senses as though that's the only reality that there is. Yet, right, how are right, you and right, I communicating right, right now? We're connected via an invisible field called the internet. I can't see it. I can't touch it. I can't taste it. I can't hear it. But I know it's connecting all of us, right? And gravity, right? It exists whether I believe in it or not. So there's tons of scientific research out there for a person who is open to go and look at. One of them is a book called The Akashic Paradigm, written by a physicist, Dr. Erwin Laszlo. Science already knows about the Akasha. It's been studying it because the Akashic Records has existed for millennia. So, you know, I'm not here to convert people. I would never go into a church and say, hey, I'm here to change your minds. It's for people who are open. It's for people who know that there's something beyond what they can see and touch, and that there is a divinity and oneness that connects all of us that we can plug into. So that's what I would say about that. And again, I work with people I know nothing about, and yet.
Let me ask a quick question because I want to clarify for people. Is this something that can work in parallel with a religious doctrine, or, well, I guess it just depends on the religious doctrine, because some of them, you know, are not very welcoming to another source of energy or information outside of the doctrine that they're teaching. Does that make sense?
It does. So here's the thing. The soul doesn't have a religion.
Right.
To quote Carolyn Mays, religion is the politics of God. If we want to know why the world has the level of chaos that it has,
religion is the politics of God.
Okay. It is. And unfortunately, it's gone sideways. And today it's about power and control. Okay. So we're looking for truth. We're not looking for propaganda. We're not looking for someone's spin. Every religion points their finger at everyone else and says, my religion's the only true religion and everyone else is wrong. How can we have this divine creator source, you know, that we are part of, and yet there's so much fragmented energy when we look at how many religions there are. So the soul doesn't have a religion. That's the first thing. And you can absolutely have a faith. A lot of the people that come to me, they call themselves recovering Catholics, but they grew up in the church. So many people, Southern Baptists, right? And they found it to be constricting or limiting, but someone could be a Buddhist. Someone could be, you know, practicing. I have tons of clients that have practiced many different faiths, and they're wanting to expand into more of a spiritual realm. So, you know, it's about going deeper with that. Now, here's the thing. The Book of Life is what the Akashic Records are. The Book of Life is referenced in the Bible. It's also referenced in every major religion because it's connected to the Babylonians, the Syrians, the Hebrews. All of those religions mention that there is in existence a celestial tablet that contains the history of all humankind and all manner of spiritual information. So it's woven into all of the religions. So it would be interesting for them to say, oh, no, you can't access the Book of Life. Only we can do that, you know, back to power and control, because it is referenced in all of those great books.
Thank you for that education. That was powerful. That was definitely powerful. So what do you say to the person that's fearful?
I say, feel your fear and do it anyway, push through it. I mean, if we let fear hold us back, right? Fear is fantasy experienced as real. We're going to have a very constricted life. So I would ask the person, what are you fearful about? Because what the records does is it connects us into our joy, our fulfillment, our happiness. It allows us to expand, to shift those limiting patterns and those limiting beliefs. And it's helpful to have someone who's a soul level guide to lovingly and to, with compassion and empathy, work with you while you're moving through that. You know, I always laugh when I show up on a call with people. I'm like, are there any final questions before we fasten our safety belt and jump into this experience? And they're like, I'm really nervous. And I laugh. I'm like, you know, there's nothing to be nervous about. I got you. And it can be a very moving experience. And after someone has explored their records, they just take a giant sigh because it's like, oh, I don't know why I had so much anxiety and fear about that. It's connecting me back into the deeper parts of myself that I innately feel. I just didn't know how to put my finger on that, or I didn't know how to have languaging and wording for that. So it's a very empowering process. It's not meant to break someone down or to put them in anxiety and fear. It's quite the opposite. It lifts them up.
So when people explore this and they work with you as their guide, is there tools or teachings that they will have that they will be able to draw on in their own space, in their own time, that they will be able to recant some of these experiences, to draw on what you shared with them without your actual facilitation?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Everything, I tell my clients, I'm not a therapist. I don't want to work with you for the next 10 years, okay? I want you to learn how to fly. So I'm going to be the mama eagle and I'm going to kick you out of that nest and you're going to start to move your wings, because that's the most empowering thing that we can do. So absolutely, I teach very grounded, actionable things that a person can implement immediately in their life to further embody and shift those limiting ways of being. And my signature program is called The Embodied Soul, How to Feel Fully Alive, Deeply Connected to Create a Life That Truly Matters. And with those clients, yeah, I have, you know, folders for everyone. There are things that I share with them after the session, graphs and charts and all manner of information. And they put binders together and they work with that throughout our 6 months together. And, you know, people come back to me several years after we've worked together and they're like, Rebecca, I'm still using my binder. I'm still going deeper with that. I'm still getting additional layers of insight about how this shows up for me, how I can anchor into this. So it's an evergreen product, April, because our soul is evergreen, right? My soul is not going to be different in 6 months, right? So it's about connecting into that information. And that's not just going to change, right? We're going to continue to learn how to embody that.
You say the soul doesn't, you don't think the soul changes?
The soul, I think our human limited ways of being changes. I think our soul does grow and expand and evolve, but I don't think necessarily that you're going to see that there's this, you know, massive shift in your soul from 1 year to the other. I think your human side of that, right? Because we are merging our humanity and our divinity, right? So we are both having a human experience and we are also divine, right? So that eternal part of us, yes, it does grow and expand. I don't think we have any kind of concept over timelines on that. I think that probably happens over massive amounts of, you know, lives.
Time
that
is really
at.
An illusion. What we think time is, it's not.
Exactly. Exactly. But it's our human perspective. It's, right. You know, because our soul's expansive. It signed up for this journey to help, you know, what the identity that we stepped into. So in this life, Rebecca Saylor Kirsten, she's partnering with the soul. It's Rebecca that's growing and expanding. My soul is beautiful. My soul has the knowing. My soul has mapped out this experience. That's what is guiding me. So
you just have to play catch up, essentially.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. So tell my brains a little bit about your current program and what you're offering and how to get in contact with you, Rebecca.
Yeah, absolutely. So the best way to contact me is through my website, www.yoursacredtruth.com. And my email is Rebecca@yoursacredtruth.com. I do have standalone sessions for people who don't know anything about the records. They're new on their spiritual journey. They want to dip their toe in the water. That is a really great way to do that. There are many different individual sessions that are listed on my website. And then for others who know that they want a more immersion into the records, they want to do transformational coaching, they want someone to help them put that into implementation in their life, that's where I have the signature program, which is going deeper into the embodied soul. And if someone were to reach out to me on my website, because I don't have that information listed on there, it is kind of a by invitation only, because I am guiding someone for 6 months to 8 months. So I want to make sure that we're a good match before we sign up for that journey. So a person can email me and reach out and I would provide more information about that.
Okay. So is this something that's like, a monthly massage, manicure, pedicure? Is this something that you come and schedule an appointment and tune in with you and we pick up from where we left off? Or is this random? I mean, I don't know. How do people access? Is it based upon what their needs are? I don't know if I'm asking that question.
You are. It always strikes me as really interesting because we eat food every day. We hopefully shower. We do all of these things to maintain a sense of self-care, right? And a sense of physical hygiene. Stepping into the records is focusing on spiritual hygiene. And that's not something that we're taught to do, but it is very, very important, especially in today's world. We don't really have a knowing of how porous we are and how much we're plugged into the collective energy. And right now that collective energy it's murky. There's a lot of chaos going on out there. If you're on social media, there's all kinds of stuff that you can pick up in terms of energies that you necessarily wouldn't want. So I always encourage my clients, do the spiritual hygiene. You don't have to come to me, but find ways to do clearing work. Find ways that you're, you know, plugging into light sources and you're stepping out of some of these darker energies, because they absolutely can influence how we think and feel. So I do have clients that come to me regularly who are like, I need a spiritual tune-up, Rebecca. I need more energy work. These are people who take care of themselves. They have nutritionists, they have fitness trainers. They have all kinds of people working with them. And I'm just one of the, council members that sits around that boardroom table with them, and they consider this to be just an aspect of how they stay healthy and how they stay connected to mind, body, and spirit. So yes. So
how do you do that for yourself, Rebecca?
I love to do retreat, April. I love to travel. I love to be in community. I'm going to be going to a spiritual shamanic retreat in October with other beautiful, amazing women, where we spend 3 days doing shamanic journeying and going deeper into that. And then I have a retreat booked in November. I will be going to Ojo Caliente in New Mexico to do a spiritual retreat there. And I'm actually going to be bringing my husband on that trip. I'm excited about that. And then in January, I will be going to Costa Rica to go whale watching. So, and there's
Let me ask you a question. Since you brought up Costa Rica, there's a lot of
ayahuasca. Yes.
So I'm not comparing that or including that in the Akashic records, but that's some pretty deep stuff too. And a lot of people are into the psychedelics. I mean, they're bringing back, or they're trying to make legal mushrooms for that psychedelic, not psychedelic, euphoric,
right,
transformational kinds of things. What do you think about that? Just, you know, just casual conversation. We don't have to go in deep. Sure. What do you think about that?
Sure. I think the natural world has so many beautiful gifts for us. And we took a wrong turn, just like we did with religion. We took a wrong turn with pharmaceuticals. And we stepped away from the gifts of the natural world, right? So I think the mushrooms, I actually own stock in a startup company called Mind Medicine. That's very much with physicians exploring what are the benefits? How do we treat chronic depression? How do we unlock some of the gifts of the mushrooms and other drugs? You know, ketamine, that's another one that's being used to treat depression as well. So yes, I actually have never had any of those experiences. I'm very sensitive. I know that about myself and I'm very empathic. So I've never jumped into that, but I understand why people do. And a lot of my have explored that. And I think there is the right time and right place for everything. And I think if you have a good shamanic guide, because you are going into some other dimensions and you can open yourself up to energies that you don't necessarily want. So if you have good guides there and you have good shamans who are looking over you while you journey, I think it can be a beautiful process. I know you had a guest on once and she did that and I went and checked out her website.
Yeah. She was all about it. And I was like, okay, I don't know if I'm ready to fasten my seatbelt and get ready for the ride. Right. But, you know, there are experiences that you need to know what you need to know, because you don't know what you don't know. And
absolutely.
Fear will hold you back, but be careful. Do your research. Don't be influenced by others. Make your own decision. Let your light shine and radiate. I want to ask you one last thing.
Sure.
Talk about the fifth dimension.
April, I would love to have an insight into the notes you take after you talk to all of us. You're like, talk to me.
You know, that's what I do here on the edge, okay? I'm going to bring it to you 500% because that's what people want to know. What's your perspective on 5D?
So we're multidimensional beings, right? We are at the physical level, we're 3D. Fourth dimensionally is our thoughts and our emotions, right? I can't see my thoughts, but I trust that they're real. I can't see my emotions, but I trust that they're there. Fifth dimensionally is where we exist as a spiritual being. It's where our soul is. It's also where the Akashic records are. So we have multiple dimensions all around us. We're a part of all of those. We just can't see them because they all have a different weight or density to them. And that's what I meant about the beauty of the subtle realms that are all around us. Our world is so much more magical and so much more complex than we give any credence to. And so when we can step outside of ourselves and start to have a higher perspective, then all of that becomes more frontiers to explore. So absolutely.
Well, I'm ready. Okay. I'm ready for the ride. Thank you so much for being our guide today. You really went in deep. You really gave some excellent explanations to some burning questions each time. And, you know, people say, oh, well, you've already had someone on your show that has talked about that. But everyone has had their own individual experience. Again, just like life, we are all individuals. And I thank you so much for being here on the edge, Rebecca, with me and my brains. Brains, did you get that? If you didn't, you can go back and rewind. We got it on audio. We got it on video. It's all over the planet. We want you to love, like, share, and subscribe to Rebecca as well as my podcast because there's a lot of information there. If you have questions, if you are, you know, unsure, if you're skeptical, if you're fearful, ask the questions. There's no dumb questions. The only dumb question is the one that you don't ask. So thank you so much for being here on the edge with me and my brains, Rebecca. You are the best.
Thank you, April.
All right. Brains, get yourself together. I love you.